Hey, welcome to the Rutgers Learn and Go podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about so-and-so, so-and-so, and XYZ. I hope you enjoy our conversation today and you learn something new.
Now, for this episode, I want to discuss water-soluble messengers and the pathways they initiate. The water-soluble messengers interact with receptors located on the plasma membrane of the cell. And these are the kind of receptors you are most likely to be familiar with. The fact that the receptors that interact with water-soluble messengers are located in the plasma membrane is non-trivial. The location of a receptor is very important as it determines what kind of messenger attaches to it. Think about what water-soluble actually means. What it means is that the messenger is hydrophilic, or water-loving. So these messengers can't readily diffuse through the phospholipid bilayer, which has nonpolar hydrophobic tails. If you recall, the molecules that can readily diffuse through the plasma membrane are nonpolar molecules. Lipid-soluble molecules enter the cell, and they often bind to receptors called nuclear receptors, which are unique intracellular receptors in the cytoplasm, or most commonly the nucleus. These receptors are structurally very different from plasma membrane receptors that the water-soluble messengers bind to, but they still are proteins and have binding and regulatory sites. A water-soluble messenger, because it's hydrophilic or water-loving, will not bind to the receptors inside the cell. Just to clarify, that doesn't mean that the plasma membrane receptor is only located on the extracellular membrane. The receptor is actually an integral protein, so it crosses the lipid bilayer and functions inside the cell. It has a regulatory site in the cell to transmit the message. But as I said, plasma membrane receptors accept messengers on the extracellular side of the membrane. Now, this binding leads to a sequence of events that trigger the cell's response. This is known as signal transduction, where signal refers to the receptor binding, and transduction refers to the sequence of events leading to the response. For water-soluble messenger pathways, the binding occurs out the cell, but the events occur inside the cell. The first messenger, the messenger that binded outside the cell, causes second messengers in the cell to relay information. Something else to note is the importance of protein kinases, which are enzymes that phosphorylate other proteins. They alter a protein's structure and therefore its function. This can be activating or inhibiting the protein. One inactive kinase can be activated by an active kinase, and the activation of one kinase to the next can ultimately lead to the cell's response. There are a few different ways a cell's response can be created from a water-soluble messenger. First, receptors can be ligand-gated ion channels. The ligand, in this case the water-soluble messenger, which is also the primary messenger, binds to the receptor, which is an ion channel. The binding causes the channel to open and allows for increased diffusion of the ion. Receptors can also function as enzymes, and most likely they are receptor tyrosine kinases. Here, binding of a primary messenger causes conformational change in the receptor so that the enzymatic portion of the receptor, which is located on the cytoplasmic side, is activated. This phosphorylation can allow for proteins to bind and also phosphorylate other proteins. Receptors, instead of being enzymes in cells, can also interact with cytoplasmic Janus kinases, which takes part in the third type of water-soluble messenger pathway. Janus kinases, or JAKs, function as a unit with the receptor, and the binding of a messenger causes a conformational change in the receptor, which leads to the activation of the Janus kinase. The last type of water-soluble messenger pathway I want to discuss involves the G-protein-coupled receptors. G-proteins are a family of proteins that are often bound to the receptor. They have three subunits, alpha, beta, and gamma. The alpha subunit can bind to GTP and GDP. When the receptor is activated, GTP binds to the alpha subunit, which causes it to separate from the beta and gamma subunits and link up with an enzyme or ion channel near it in the plasma membrane. This binding with the GTP-bound alpha subunit and the plasma membrane protein leads to this protein switching on and eventually leading to the cell's response through signal transduction.